I'd like to call to order the special board meeting Monday, September 30th, 2019, 5:20 PM. Roll call, please.
Reagan?
Here.
Forsythe?
Here.
Lightfoot?
Here.
Sheridan?
Here.
Leader?
Here.
Denisha?
Here.
Perkins? Akers?
Here.
Fay?
Here.
Haggard? Arquette? Burke? Arquette?
Here.
Terminelli?
Here.
Curran?
Here.
12 present.
I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda by Mr. Forsythe, seconded by everybody on the left here. Curran, Denisha, and Terminelli. Legislator Nancy Arquette is excused for the evening. Mr. Denisha, would you present the resolution, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a resolution reappointing the Director of Real Property and move this resolution.
Is there a second? By Mr. Perkins and Mr. Akers. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Congratulations, Mr. Green. Is there any additional business that the board needs to discuss? Seeing none, we're adjourned.
Jim Reagan is here, we can get started. To call this meeting to order of the finance meeting of September 30th. Approval of tonight's agenda. Mr. Denisha, Mrs. Curran. Any discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion carried. About a resolution approving tonight's minutes. Ms. Curran, Mr. Perkins, any discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion carried. Next up is Mr. Chambers. So we have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a lease with Waste Stream Incorporated, doing business as Casella Waste Services for equipment for the solid waste department. Moved by Mr. Forsythe, seconded by Mr. Denisha. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, thank you. As the legislature, I'm sure, is aware, the Development Authority of the North Country is currently working on a recycling transfer station in Harrisville, New York, where the county will intend to take their recyclable materials as soon as it opens. At this point, the amount of flow that comes through the county recycling transfer stations is approximately, you know, a little under 3,000 tons per year, and which is very similar to the amount that is currently handled now with, by Casella. So if the county were to take the material from the compactors that Casella currently has, when this new system is up and running, we'd over double the input or throughput of our facilities. And our facilities are not really set up to take that type of flow or in that format. In discussions with Casella, what Mr. Legault and I discussed with Casella would actually utilize the county's tractors to connect to Casella trailers, which already have the recyclable material compacted in them, and then transport them to the Harrisville facility, rather than to bring them to the county facilities, discharge the loads, and let the material become uncompacted, and try to basically either transport them loose or to try to recompact them in a less efficient manner than what Casella would have already had it compacted. So by this method, we would be simply connecting to their trailer, hauling it to the Harrisville site, rather than doing all these other steps. I think it's in the best interest of the taxpayers, and Casella has offered basically a dollar a year lease on the three trailers, which would amount to about 150 loads approximately a year that we would have to take, so less than one load per day of operation.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning Mr. Reagan?
When Jim Wright, the chairman of the, or executive director of the Development Authority, was here a couple months ago, he alluded to the fact that he felt St. Lawrence County could increase the amount of recyclables that get more people to separate the recyclables in their garbage. Is that something that's being pursued?
Well, that's something that is actually our county law at this point. And we have had educational folks. In fact, we the legislature approved some temporary employees and to help with that and with the operation, so we can increase education for recycling. Yes, sir.
So is that taking place now or going to take place?
We did do that this summer, and we will continue that during the summer months. And I'm anticipating doing that in 2020 with the passing of the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Next up, Highway, Mr. Chambers. The resolution is approving federal aid highway project for the construction inspection phase of the St. Lawrence County Bridge Preservation Project, bin number 3340850, bin number 3341310, bin number 3341710, bin number 334-1720, and pin number 775378. Ms. Curran, second by Mr. Perkins. Mr. Chambers.
Yes. This project is, just to give you the, those bin numbers probably mean little or nothing to the board. One is on County Road 17 in Old DeKalb. Another is on County Road 3 in the town of Rossi. Another is on the County Road 8 in the town of Rossi as well. And on County Road 46 in Messina. These are very large structures, some of the larger structures that the county has currently in service, and this project will extend the service life significantly on these structures. We will be replacing the bearings, doing some concrete repairs, new guide rail, painting, structural steel replacement, and a new pavement, a riding surface when we're done.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mr. Chambers. So, authorizing the chair to sign a one-year contract extension with the New York State Department of Transportation for the snow and ice control agreement on state highways. Moved by Mr. Denisha, seconded by Ms. Curran. Mr. Chambers.
Yes. As you can see, this contract has been going on for a few years. 1982 was the initiating contract. This is basically a time and material contract that the county has with the state of New York for plowing state highways. The contract is approximately $2.2 million worth of revenue to the county on an annual basis, and worth about $1.4 to $1.5 million for nine municipalities that subcontract to the county. Those municipalities being the City of Augsburg, the Village of Canton, the Village of Potsdam, Village of Messina, Town of Messina, Town of Louisville, Town of Edwards, Town of Brazier, and the Town of Parrishville.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers? So Don, that's about 3.6 million combined then?
No, altogether, that's the 2.2, and then is the, so the county has a revenue, ends up with a revenue around 700,000.
Okay, all right, thank you. Anyone? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Next up, the real property, Mr. Green. So this resolution is for their authorizing the collection of omitted taxes. Mr. Burke, second by Mr. Forsyth. Mr. Green.
Okay. Our first resolution is for the collection of omitted taxes. We ask for this each year as a resolution at this time of the year. And omitted taxes are typically taxes that are the previous owners of a sold property. So the new owner takes possession of the property after taxable status date, which is March 1st in all the towns of the county, and April 1st in Ogdensburg, and those exemptions follow to the new property owner, and oftentimes they are omitted taxes calculation is done to get those taxes back and paid in by that new owner. So this just authorizes the county to collect their share.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Green? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Our next resolution is the adoption of the equalization rate for the 2020 county taxes. Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Mrs. Curran. Mr. Green.
Okay. These are just the EEC rates that are used to calculate taxes for the 2020 town and county tax bills. These are the 2019 EEC rates available here in front of you.
Any questions for Mr. Green? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Mr. Forsyth.
First, yes. Lately I'm hearing people getting checks, star checks. Some getting two, and they seem to be quite a bit more than prior years. Is there any rationale or reason to that? Or?
Well, there's two checks that people may get. There's a property relief check that's supposed to sunset this year. Most have been getting them through September. And I know recently, I just got mine here a week or so ago. And so that's the property relief check has to do with a municipality. As long as they stayed under the 2% tax cap, the state will cut those checks back. The other check would be the star credit check. So a person that is a new property owner since 2016 are getting a property star credit check rather than the star exemption.
Okay.
So it's a new thing.
The municipalities, isn't it just for schools now? I don't think it's for the any, or is it? It's not for the county. I know that we don't
Right.
fill that form out anymore. Is it just
Right.
for school districts?
Just school districts,
okay.
That's right.
Just to be clear.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Green.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Bruce.
Thank you.
Next up, our county attorney, Steve Button. The resolution is authorizing the chair to sign a contract between St. Lawrence County Self-Insurance Plan and St. Lawrence County Fire Training Facility, Inc. for the use of the fire training facilities. Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Ms. Curran. Mr. Button.
Thank you. This is your annual resolution with respect to the use of the Briggs Fire Training Center that we make available to volunteer firemen who are covered under the St. Lawrence County Self-Insurance Plan. The rate has not changed since I took over as county attorney, so it remains at $35,000 per year, and that's paid out of the plan's funds.
Any questions for Mr. Button concerning this resolution? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Our next resolution is modifying the 2019 budget for the county attorney's office for outside counsel. Motion by Ms. Curran, seconded by Mr. Lightfoot. Mr. Button.
Thank you. The resolution before you would increase the annual budget associated with outside counsel. we actually have made great strides in reducing the number of cases that have gone out. When I came into the office back in 2015, at that time we had 22 cases that were out. Now we have 7, and I can give you that list this evening if you'd like to know them. The difficulty is that those cases are hitting a point where there is greater activity associated with them. If you don't mind, I'll actually tell you what the cases are so that you're aware of what's going on. The first one is a case that actually arose in 2013. It's Fisher versus SLC Sheriff. It has remained dormant. It's actually one of our more inactive cases, but we have had regular status checks that has been paid out associated with it. The second one is Thorpe Durand versus SLC. That is a malicious prosecution claim that has been asserted against St. Lawrence County. That matter is moving forward with likely summary judgment motion to be filed this year. So it is close to coming to conclusion. The third is Hillary versus SLC. I don't need to go over the facts on the Hillary case, but I think everybody here is familiar with the fact that at one point there were actually three attorneys working with respect to that file, given the named defendants associated with county representation. The fourth case was a case out of 2014. That's the Wells versus SLC case. You're all familiar with the Wells case that was recently resolved. The fifth matter is the matter of an employee before PERB. I will leave the employee nameless, as I cannot name the individual in public session, but this board is very familiar with that employee and that ongoing matter. The sixth is the matter of a workers' compensation board challenge. That was a dispute that occurred between two employers that are planned participants, a part of the workers' compensation board, and outside counsel was required because there was a potential of conflict against the county's position within the county plan. And the seventh is the matter of Nichols v. Bacon. This is a case that has actually arisen this year. It's been a dispute between the two Board of Elections commissioners. To date, it has moved through the third department. I understand there is an application currently pending before the Court of Appeals to potentially grant certification of a question up to the Court of Appeals. But so far, the billing associated with that has been about $43,000 this year alone, and we expect that it could hit as much as $65,000.
Any questions for Mr. Button? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Next up is authorizing the chair to sign an access agreement with New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, DEC, for solid and hazardous waste program for assessing a historic landfill site in Star Lake.
I've previously I'm sorry.
Ms. Curran, and seconded by Mr. Nisha. Mr. Button.
Thank you. I previously discussed this with the board. As the board will recall, the transfer station that St. Lawrence County owns down in the Star Lake area was situated in close proximity to a former landfill site. The DEC is interested in monitoring that landfill site associated with their hazardous waste program that is assessing inactive landfills. The county does not own the land in which the landfill was situated on, but it does own land that is in close proximity, so the DEC has asked for the opportunity to place a monitoring well on St. Lawrence County's land to monitor water flow associated with that inactive landfill site. This authorization would grant the chair the opportunity to sign an access agreement with the DEC to permit them to place that monitoring well, though.
Any questions for Mr. Button concerning this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Thank you. Next up, we have a resolution setting a date for a public hearing on proposed Law B, number yet to be decided, for the year 2019, and it's adopting the rights of public officers and employees absent on military duty as members of an organized militia or of reserve forces of reserve components of the armed forces pursuant to military law section 242 parentheses 5 parentheses B. Mr. Haggard, seconded by Mr. Sheridan and Mr. Reagan. Mr. Reagan, would you like to speak to this, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This resolution would allow county employees who were suffered injuries while serving in a combat zone an additional 3 days to obtain medical treatment that's connected to their service-related injuries. This would not affect just anyone. The individuals would have to show to the personnel department documentation from the Defense Department showing that they were serving in the military, in the armed forces, in combat, and suffered injuries related to their duties while our country was putting them in harm's way. This is new to St. Lawrence County. It currently exists in state law. It is, we are probably going to be the first county in New York State to provide this benefit to combat veterans who were injured. But I believe that considering over the past decade or so, a lot of members of the armed forces have been sent by our country into harm's way, and this would provide our way of ensuring that if they have to go to Syracuse for treatment, that the you know, it's 3 hours there, 3 hours back, this would ensure that they have time, because, you know, often especially individuals who have combat related injuries also have PTSD and other issues, and I think it's important that we fulfill our social contract with those that we send into harm's way to ensure that they get the have access to the care they need. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Anyone else? Mr. Lightfoot. Turn on your Mr. Lightfoot, turn on your mic, please. Your mic.
This actually, we're proposing 3 days versus the 5 days in the state law.
Okay, as far as the type of injury that is sustained by whoever it is that would be eligible for this, I don't believe that the state law says that it has to be a combat injury. I believe that it says that any injury at all incurred or received while in a combat zone is covered. So just because someone may have slipped and fell and hurt their back in a combat zone, that could very well or would very well fall under the state statute. Does that fall under the statute that you have, Rock Harbor?
Mr. Reagan, you care to respond? Please turn on your mic, please.
I think the section of the law is cited up above and, you know, requires that the individual provide their DD-214 to document their service-related injury.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Mr. Lightfoot, your mic's not going, staying on. There you go. Thank you.
I'd just like to speak to this as far as its presentation as a local law and not as a resolution from this board. I personally see absolutely no reason at all that this board needs to go through the formality and enact a local law when we can do the same thing with a resolution, and in that resolution put the same kind of stipulations or controls as far as eligibility and provability as a local law would. So with respect to setting a date for a local law, I will be voting against it. I would ask you also, as members of this board, to consider that also. We can do this with a resolution, and it would have the same effect as the local law without the necessity for a public hearing, filing with the state of New York, and encumbering future boards with options either to enhance this or to get rid of it totally in the future. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just informed a little while ago this is a negotiations item, so I think that's where it should be brought up. So I won't be supporting this either. Thank you.
Mr. Reagan.
I'll just wait and see what other issues are brought up.
Mr. Forsyth.
We asked at the last, I don't know, a couple weeks ago at least, what the cost. Do we have any idea of the cost of this? So until we see them, we'd never know. How many sick days does a county employee receive on average?
They start out with 11 a year and then moves up to 13 a year.
My thing is, we're trying to copy the state of New York. I'll give you one thing where the state of New York, we reimburse our employees Medicare Part B and their spouses. And that was started decades ago. And it seemed like a real good idea at the time. Now that cost us $800,000, I think was the last time I heard, somewhere in that ballpark. And believe me, I support our troops. I've done the veterans hunt out to our lodge for years, the wounded warriors, we've taken them out. I've sponsored them through my insurance business. Without knowing the long-term cost, I'm just gonna have a hard time supporting this in any way at this time. And I agree with Rick. I think it is a part of negotiation, so I'll leave it at that.
Ms. Curran.
Just to give you an idea, because I work at the VA, out of my almost 1,000 patients, I have one guy that would qualify for this, out of 1,000 people. Most of the people that go to the VA, it's because they have some sort of service-connected issue. The general public that has nothing to...
Anyone else? Mr. Arquette.
I guess I'd have to ask Mr. Reagan how he would feel about the resolution proposal as opposed to the local law.
Mr. Reagan, you care to respond?
I wouldn't have any problem with that if Mr. Lightfoot wanted to make that a friendly amendment. I'd certainly accept it. When I first brought this up, it was recommended by the county attorney and the county administrator to go this route. If there's an easier route, I'm certainly open to that, and I would certainly accept that as a friendly amendment.
Mr. Lightfoot.
At this stage, I am not interested in sponsoring a friendly amendment. For the second reason, I agree also with the chairman of the negotiating committee.
So if a change wanted to be done, it could be tabled and come forth with a resolution. Mr. Reagan, would you be interested in bringing it forth as a resolution rather than as a local law?
I'm not certain that it's going to change any votes. So far I haven't seen any change in the votes. The idea of this being a negotiated item, I would just simply say this: as Ms. Curran has pointed out, I don't believe that there's that many county employees who would be impacted by this. As she said, you know, she's aware of maybe one out of 1,000 who are treated at the VA clinic in Messina. There would be very little incentive for the union to agree to something that benefits only a couple of members of their union. So, you know, this, I'm proposing it because I feel that we as a county have an obligation to those who we, our nation sends into harm's way and who come back with injuries from their time of service in some of the most dangerous places on earth. And, over the years, I've attended a lot of the veterans events, and, everyone talks about their support for the veterans. I think this is one way that we can express our thanks to those who have been injured in the line of duty, and show them that what they did is that they're appreciated and that we support them, and not just wait until after they've died to thank them for their service.
Mr. Haggard.
I just wanted to ask the chair if they would direct a question to the county attorney. Mr. Reagan has represented that there's a recommendation to him to bring it forth as a local law rather than a resolution. I was wondering if we could get a reason or a statement of that, if the chair would be so kind.
Certainly, Mr. Haggard. Mr. Button.
I don't mind answering that question at all. When I had my discussion with Mr. Reagan, my understanding was that there was an intention to create a binding policy that would be in place indefinitely. A local law would, in fact, accord that sort of right with an indefinite power. Also, it is much more difficult to rescind a local law than a resolution. So in discussing this with Mr. Reagan, it was my understanding that Mr. Reagan intended to try to make this as permanent as possible. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Burke.
I commend Jim for bringing this forward. I think it's very important, and I don't think it should be an issue for negotiations. I think it's an issue of what's morally right and what we should be doing. So I support it 100%.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. Anyone else? Mr. Sheridan.
Yes, Mr. Akers. I'm going to support the resolution. In the grand scheme of things, I can't imagine this resolution having much of an effect on our overall operation here in St. Lawrence County government. This measure is just another way of showing our gratitude and our thanks to the veterans who have made great sacrifices, all in the name of keeping us safe here at home. To me, it's just another way of saying to the veterans in St. Lawrence County, thank you for your service. Here's 3 additional days to tend to your medical troubles that were incurred while fighting for your country. So whether it's a resolution or whether it's local law, I'm going to support it.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan. Anyone else? Mr. Denisha.
Yeah, I would like to offer a amendment to this. And it would be section 2 on the second page, where it imposition of military law, section 2425B. Every public officer or employee employed by the County of St. Lawrence who served in a combat theater or combat zone of operations is documented by a copy of the DD 214. I would like to rather than who served, I would like to have that changed to who suffered a combat-related injury or disability while serving.
Just, Mr. Danish, if I may.
Yes.
Can we get a clarification what the DD 214 either, it's does anyone have
it's
knowledge?
Discharge. It's discharge papers from your
it's just discharge.
Paper, formal discharge papers from your military service.
It doesn't list an injury or anything on that?
Yes.
It does.
Yeah.
Ms. Curran, would you like to add for clarification purposes? I think there's some question as to what the DD 214 form is.
I can get you a sample DD 214, but if you have combat status, it's on there, unless they've, I mean, some of the ones from Vietnam were wrong and they had to be amended. But nowadays, any medals you get of honor, any distinctions are listed on there in one of the boxes. Most of the people who are combat vets get that designation because they've been so injured. Most of them are unemployable for life. They've lost an eye, they've lost something that probably makes them unemployable. So there's not a lot of people who have these.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Curran. So, yes. So just to clarify, Mr. Denisha has an amendment that basically says suffered, what was the exact words, Mr. Denisha?
Suffered a combat-related injury or disability while serving.
Okay. Is there a second for Mr. Denisha's amendment? Mr. Leader. Discussion on the amendment. Mr. Haggard.
Yes, I will not support the amendment. Suffered would require proof, or it seems to me would require clarification from the veteran. Served is pretty easy. I mean, they were either there or they weren't there. I will not be supporting this. I don't think we need to put another requirement on these veterans to make a determination whether it says suffered or served. I think served is quite clear, and I think it also goes to the original statement that Mr. Lightfoot said that if they were in a combat theater or whatever and they suffered or they incurred an injury of any kind, that would qualify. So I will not be supporting an amendment to try to clarify something that I think would create a greater burden on the veteran.
Thank you, Mr. Haggard. Anyone else in regards to the amendment? Okay, so seeing none, no more questions. All those in favor of the amendment by Mr. Denisha signify by saying aye. Yes, Mr. Leader, second it. Yep. So we have an amendment on the floor. Show of hands, or we can do a roll call. Roll call, I guess, is what we'll do.
Tony Urquhart?
No.
Terminelli? Curran? Reagan?
No.
Forsythe?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
No.
Sheridan?
No.
Leader?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
No.
Akers?
No.
Fay?
Yes.
Haggard?
No.
Burke? 4 yes, 10 no, 1 absent.
Okay, so we return to the original resolution setting a date for public hearing of proposed local law B for the year 2019, adopting the rights of public officers and employees absent on military duty as members of organized militia or reserve forces of reserve components of the armed forces pursuant to military law section 242, parentheses 5, parentheses B. Mr. Haggard?
Roll call vote, please.
Okay. Mr. Lightfoot?
With regard to Mr. Reagan's request or statement about myself offering a friendly amendment, and as you heard, I refused. It's my feeling that if Mr. Reagan wants to withdraw this and offer a resolution, I would be in support of that resolution. I am not in support of the local law, and I will not vote for it. And if it comes forward as a local law, I will be voting against it. So I guess my statement is, if you're willing to withdraw this, I am certainly willing to, and not a quid pro quo by any means, but I'm willing to support it as a resolution, not as a local law.
Mr. Reagan.
Mr. Chair, could I propose a amendment to it to make it a resolution?
We can try, certainly. Mr. Ford. Okay, well, let's hear what the amendment is, what the change is first.
I'll let the county attorney make that, since he suggested the local law in the first place. So
would you just strike, I think you could probably, if the county attorney, would we just strike the first part of the sentence?
Yeah.
So how would you like that to read? Maybe I'll ask the county attorney.
Mr. Chair, are you prepared?
Yes.
Okay. The resolution will now read, having struck setting a date for a public hearing on proposed local law B number for the year 2019, it will read in title, adopting the rights of public officers and employees absent on military duty as members of the organized militia or of reserve forces or reserve components of the armed forces pursuant to military law, section 242, sub 5, sub B. Moving down through the resolution now, the now therefore be it resolved, strike that the Board of Legislators will hold a public hearing on proposed local law B for the year 2009 to be held on Monday, November 4th, 2019 at 5:35 p.m. in the Legislative Chambers on. Strike the proposed title of local law B. Strike be it enacted by the Board of Legislators of St. Lawrence County as follows. Strike section 1 purpose. Following the now, therefore, be it resolved, move up paragraph, the Board of Legislators is committed to providing support and assistance to the members of the United States Armed Forces, et cetera, et cetera. Move to paragraph 2 of section 1. Strike paragraph 2 of section 1. Add in, be it also resolved that the Board of Legislators would extend a similar benefit to current and future county employees. Strike title heading section 2, imposition of military law section 242.5b for county employees. Add, therefore be it also resolved, every public officer or employee employed by the County of St. Lawrence, et cetera, et cetera. Strike section 3, effective date, as well as sentence thereafter.
Okay, that's a lot. Mr. Reagan, does that
so
mean?
So moved.
Your satisfaction, a second by Ms. Curran, Mr. Leader, Ms. Sheridan, and Mr. Forsyth. Discussion on Mr. Haggard.
Yes, I do have a question. When Legislator Reagan brought this up, the intent was to provide a permanent benefit by way of local county law that would protect our wounded veterans. So the question I have here is, it appears that now it's been changed to a resolution to hopefully obtain votes, but I want to know if Mr. Reagan is still comfortable with the fact, but I direct this to the chair,
yes,
that this would provide a permanent benefit for those people that they could depend, those veterans they could depend on. And as a resolution which we know can be changed quickly or amended quickly, as opposed to the purpose of it, which was recommended at the time by the local, the county attorney, to provide a permanent benefit. It appears to me that that does not necessarily accomplish the permanency and the assurances that Mr. Reagan was originally asking for. So I would ask the chair if he would direct a question to Mr. Reagan, asking whether or not that serves his purpose to provide a permanent benefit to wounded veterans that they can depend on going forward. Thank you.
I think the short answer would be as long as the resolution exists, but I will defer to Mr. Reagan and actually the county attorney, if you would.
I think that it's clear to everyone on this board that in order to change this, once it's passed as a resolution, it would require someone to introduce a new resolution removing the benefit, and it would have to be proposed before this board, and the entire board would have to vote on yes or no, and would require a majority. I believe that if we're able to do this as a resolution, I think it gets it on the books and provides it as a benefit to county employees, and I'm happy with it and feel that we're accomplishing what I set out to accomplish. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Anyone else? Mr. Haggard.
I thank the chair for this question, and I thank you, the chair, Mr. Reagan, for his response.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Haggard. Mr. Berg.
I wonder if we could ask the county attorney, does it indeed stay in effect until or unless another resolution is introduced?
Well, it would. I mean, it's a resolution. So as long as that resolution is in place, it remains. And it's just like what Mr. Reagan said, it would take another board member to introduce a resolution pulling that benefit out or to deny it. But certainly we can have Mr. Button answer the question. Mr. Button.
And a second part of that, if I could.
Yes.
Is you have said in the past that we can't encumber future boards. So I guess it's in that light that I ask the question.
I think that's a good question, and I do think that that points to the lack of permanency associated with the resolution. If any future board passes a resolution that is inconsistent with this resolution, in an effort to actually, as a rule of construction, attempt to figure out what the board is doing, they'll try to read them as being consistent, unless they are totally inconsistent, in which the temporal passage will have bearing. For example, if you pass this resolution this evening, and a subsequent board comes forward and passes a subsequent resolution that is inconsistent with this resolution, wholly inconsistent on its face, because it is more consistent and more proximate in time, the new resolution will take precedence. So it is not necessary for a resolution to be introduced that states on its face that the prior resolution is rescinded. A resolution that is wholly inconsistent with this resolution could have that effect. But I do believe, as Mr. Reagan pointed out, that it would take a subsequent resolution, that it would take a majority vote of this board to actually act in a manner that is inconsistent with the prior action.
Good. Mr. Arquette. Your mic's still on. Sorry. Thank you.
And am I correct in saying that the reconsideration of a resolution needs to be brought forward by a board member that was on the winning side of an argument?
Go ahead. I'm not sure.
Thank you. That's actually a procedural mechanism, the motion to reconsider. The motion to reconsider can actually be brought forward by a prevailing member, has to be brought forward in a temporal time period that would be in proximate relation to the original introduction. So, for example, if you were to introduce this resolution were to fail, one of the proponents of the opposition could reintroduce it at the subsequent board meeting. I don't believe that that's what Mr. Burke was identifying associated with reconsideration of the issue thereafter. And what I was trying to point out is that it would not necessarily have to be framed or titled as a reconsideration of the resolution previously passed and identified on October 7, 2019. It could be something simply that is inconsistent with the prior resolution, but it would have to be clearly inconsistent. Otherwise, it would be read at least in an attempt at first glance to find a way in which to construct them together and be harmonious.
Thank you, Mr. Arquette. Anyone else? Mr. Reagan.
Since we're discussing the amended resolution, I would just point out that just as a local law would require a majority of the board vote, that this also, you know, is accomplishes the same thing with a majority vote. So I think if our aim is to provide this benefit to our wounded warriors, and that this will accomplish that, and I would urge everyone to support it.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Mr. Haggard.
This is a procedural question. I want to make sure that I understand what is on the floor now. Okay. What's on the floor now is a resolution to, in fact, turn this into a resolution.
Yes.
But the original question, in other words, is Mr. Reagan withdrawing the original question on the law, or is that still on the table right now?
It's amended. Okay. So in Mr. Button's dialogue, I guess, concerning the resolution, he mentioned the parts that would be stricken from that resolution. Mr. Reagan agreed to it. Anyone else? Seeing none. Oh, Mr. Button.
Interestingly, what you have before you tonight is actually not the law itself. It is a resolution to set a public hearing date. So you are amending a resolution setting a public hearing date to now state the subject matter of the original local law.
Okay. So let's have a roll call vote. Mr. Reagan, I appreciate your flexibility.
Terminelli?
Yes.
Curran?
Yes.
Reagan?
Yes.
Forsythe?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
Sheridan?
Yes.
Leader?
Yes.
Denisha? Perkins?
No.
Akers?
Yes.
Bay? Yes. Haggard?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Urquhart?
Yes.
13 yes, 1 no, 1 absent.
Resolution passes. Yes, Mr. Lightfoot.
I'd just like to thank Legislator Reagan for his willingness to compromise, and to thank him for the strong support that he's shown with this resolution. I think it's commendable. I think it's something that is closely held by him, meant a lot to him, and I think it was quite a feat to compromise it. So thank you, Legislator Reagan.
Thank you, Mr. Lightfoot. Okay, so the Vacancy Review Committee, we have Highway, and it's about filling a motor equipment operator position. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, thank you. I wasn't sure if we were coming up because the format has changed, but thank you. Yes, this is a position for a motor equipment operator that originally started out as a negotiated settlement with the union and with the movement of a person within the department. And this latest is in the movements is actually a lateral transfer coming from another area within the department. So it's, it was the same pay grade that you approved the previous month. But motor equipment operator does everything from in the department, from laboring to operating snow plows or payloaders. So it is critical to our operations to keep this fill going.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers? Thank you very much. We don't vote.
Thank you.
Next up, real property, Mr. Green. It's about abolishing a keyboard specialist position. Position number 0031-00089 for part-time accountant clerk. Position 1001-00036 and temporary keyboard specialist position number 0031-00097 and create and fill an account clerk position number 1039. Okay. Mr. Green.
Thank you. What we're doing here is creating a full-time account clerk position in our office. Recently, you had approved for our office a temporary keyboard specialist position because we had a resignation within the office. So what we're really doing is just we've had a part-time account clerk that has been shared with another department. The other department didn't want to keep that person's services, and she's come on in our office and has worked out quite well, and we'd like to make that permanent going forward.
Any questions for Mr. Green concerning this new position? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Green.
Thank you.
Okay, so next up is our county administrator.
So as we move through this new vacancy process, I just want to summarize what you've seen this month in the way of positions so that you'll know what you're going to see in the packet for the board agenda. So at operations, you approved the sheriff's deputy. At services, you created a temporary fiscal officer. You abolished two positions, a community health nurse, a registered nurse, and created a service coordinator. Another RN was abolished to create another service coordinator and a public health nurse, as well as an account clerk typist. In community services, you are creating and filling the behavioral health clinician role that will substitute for the social worker, a keyboard specialist in chemical dependency, as well as an RN. In Office for the Aging, you've approved a nutrition services aide to come forward. Five positions in social services, one being a temporary position overlap, a social welfare examiner investigator, a homemaker, a social welfare examiner for TA SNAP, an overlap temporary position for a senior account clerk in accounting, an attorney in legal. And tonight, one in highway, the motor equipment operator. And as you'll recall, as a result of filling that position, if there are others, I will report those out to you. I believe I will do that monthly. So if there are others, you can keep up with the positions that are changing. And then in real property, I thought it was important also for, even though it clouded your agenda a little bit, for the department to get credit for both abolishing a position that was temporarily supported by the board to overlap a leave, but also that position and creatively filling an account clerk. So all of those will be combined. And what we anticipate is presenting those to you, and then in the Be It Further Resolved, any of the grant funding positions with the language necessary, any of the specialty items associated with filling those positions, if the funding goes away, the position goes away, those will follow. So at the board meeting, if you have any questions, I'm certainly happy to answer them, or as you review your agenda. Any questions? Okay. For the county administrator's report, I'll go over the discussion item, the 2020 budget process, last. I wanted to share with you the transfers associated this month. I have two of them that I report out to you pursuant to Local Law C for the year 2011. The first is a transfer in probation for $118.18. This is to facilitate shredding that was over budget, as well as $3,200 in the Board of Legislators budget for closing an account that we've had in excess of 20 years with Iron Mountain, and they will be returning all of the documents stored there for us to go through, find out what was there, what we need to keep with permanency, and be able to send the rest to be shredded. So those are the two transfers this month for you. This Friday, you should be receiving invitations for the I Love New York Adirondack Challenge. I believe the RSVP is required by Wednesday, so if you could check your email for that. Those invitations, I believe, went out today. Last week, the Messina Department of Motor Vehicles opened their additional terminal. You'll remember last year, or 2 years ago, Governor opened an additional terminal as well. So they certainly keep up the business in the local municipalities. On Wednesday, October 16th, will be the annual St. Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce dinner. At that dinner, we had made arrangements for the Great American Defense Community that you'll remember the North Country has been designated in 2019 to receive recognition. We are inviting both of my counterparts from Lewis and Jefferson County to attend. So if you're interested and able to attend, let us know and we can make sure arrangements are made for that. In your mailboxes tonight, the audit documents in final form are available to you, so please pick those up. And if you have any questions, please let us know and we can get you answers. Annually, the county pays for two individuals to attend the St. Lawrence Leadership Institute. So I wanted to let you know this year we are sending two employees, one from Social Services and one from Office for the Aging. We did have a follow-up email with regard to the National Grid conference call that Don and I had with Rich Burns, our representative, and he intends to schedule a meeting with us in a couple of weeks. They don't initially believe there'll be a great opportunity for collaboration, but certainly willing to explore that further with us. I just wanted to remind you of the resolutions provided to you last week from the NYSEC conference. If there's any items that you took particular interest in, send them my way. I've received a couple, and we'll make sure they are converted to St. Lawrence County language and added to the committee agendas in October. And then I wanted to present you with a few options related to the budget process and also walk through what the budget process will look like for those of you who haven't had the opportunity yet to go through that. So next week at the board meeting, at the end of the agenda, we will not schedule an executive session, but following the presentation of resolutions, we will have the short break there that we would normally take and set up for the budget presentation. Now, the following week, the board isn't scheduled to have a meeting because of Columbus Day holiday. So typically, we have picked up in years where reviews have occurred, we've picked those up that following week. By county law, the budget's required to be delivered to the Finance Committee. Now, we're fortunate in this way because as a committee of the whole, the entire board is present for the board meeting to present and the Finance Committee can receive the budget. And then typically that first meeting following, the Finance Committee will deliver to the board to consider amendments to the tentative budget. So there are, in my estimation, three options I'd like to provide to you with how budget reviews will occur this year. So for a number of years, budget reviews took place with every department in the county who had an opportunity to come in and present you with both their request, what's happening in their department, and how the tentative budget will affect them. That could be scheduled for 11 days by my read on Mondays and Tuesdays is how we scheduled it in those years. And it would be essentially we would schedule about an hour before the committee meeting, have the committee meeting on Monday, and then on Tuesday come in for a 4:30 to 6 or 6:30 session, take some time for dinner, and then come back for a 7:30 to 9 o'clock session. So that would potentially occur October 15th, 21st, 22nd, 28th, 29th, November 4, 5, 12, 18, and on the 19th of November, the changes could be adopted for then the public hearing and special board meeting to occur on November 25th. That's one option. Option two is that for the past 4 years, I've presented the budget at the October board meeting and then at committees, our operations, our services, and our finance, I set aside a part of the agenda to bring you some of the highlights of the changes in departments, whether it's people or resources or contracts, and then some of the higher level interest items like health insurance, sales tax, some of those things that I know you're going to get questions about in the public and at your meetings. And then the third option this year wouldn't actually necessarily be for the department breakdown, but it would really be to demonstrate the changes that our departments are seeing relative to New York State legislation in the form of mandates. So cashless bail is one of them, discovery is another one, the lead changes in requirements. So my thoughts on that were, at each of the committees, similarly, we would have groups of folks from departments, the department heads, be able to speak to you about changes that could impact the 2020 budget and some of the considerations that you should be informed of moving into the 2020 budget. Some perhaps we've made adjustments to financially, and some we've set aside funds, and some it's too early to know what those impacts will be. So those are the three options. So I'm hoping that you'll give me some feedback and we can decide which way we'd like to go. But I also understand if you'd prefer to wait and see the budget come out next week and then make a decision, that would be fine too.
So I think on the first option, our teachers, that'd be hard for you to make an hour before a 4:30 meeting. I know from
any schedule could be set up. I mean,
stuff for you, Tony, right? Option one.
With the budget team.
Mr. Haggard.
Yeah, I prefer the third option where we're getting basically an update of changes. It appears to me that that would be the most helpful and show where there are areas of change to take place. The budget process is pretty much a process, and it doesn't change that dramatically, but there would be things that would impact it and change it, and they would have a dramatic impact. So I like the third option whereby we have updates, which is similar to many times where we have changes in laws and so forth that have to be affected by any group. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haggard. Ms. Terminelli?
So a possibility to do a hybrid approach where we combine options two and three, where we look at the highlights, but also have the department heads here to speak, certain department heads, especially where mandates are going to change, to speak to that.
Probably have to form a committee to do that.
I don't think so.
No.
I think we can get it done.
Mr. Denisha.
For the last 4 years, we've essentially done option two. And I think that has worked very well. I think it's worked well. I see no reason to change it.
Mr. Forsyth.
I agree wholeheartedly. I've been on option A before. That's a bear. And you didn't mention outside agencies either in there.
Well, they would come under our budget.
Yeah, that would come into there. But yeah, I'm all for option B. You're aware of the changes for 2020 coming through. That's your expertise. That's why we pay the big bucks. Yeah.
Mr. Reagan.
I was wondering whether it would be possible. The plan is to present the budget at the end of the regular meeting. I would ask that you and the chair consider presenting it at the beginning of the meeting. That's when the press is here, and that would give them an opportunity afterwards to get their questions answered before they go and file their stories. What tends to happen is you never know how long the regular meeting is going to go. Then at the very end of the meeting, everyone's tired. They present the budget. There's more likelihood for confusion and misunderstanding. And I think in the interest of helping the public to understand what the issues we're facing and what is in the budget, that we do it at the beginning of the meeting, because that's going to be the major story coming out of the day's events. And I think it's in our interest to make sure that we get our message out so that the community knows what the county's facing.
Mr. Lightfoot.
Well, I agree that it would be nice to get it out at the beginning of the meeting. You're going to get two volumes of very detailed financial information. After the meeting, if you get it before the meeting, you're not going to have the opportunity to go through it, to understand what's in it, to raise any questions of the county administrator about it. And that's the reason that in the past, that this document has been brought forward at the end of the meeting. It gives us the opportunity to take it home with us at our leisure, go through it, and be better able to answer the questions that the press or anybody else might have with regard to its content and what it's going to look like for the county going forward. So while I understand that it would be nice to, you know, have all that information up here at the start of the meeting, I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't see a better way to get it out than to present it as you have offered to present it, and allow us the time to review it, ask questions about it, and be prepared the next time that we are asked questions by the press or the public about its content. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lightfoot. Mr. Haggard.
I agree with Chairman Lightfoot. I believe that we need time to absorb the material. It appears to me that, I mean, I don't want to be asked questions and try to take questions on the fly without having a time to read it, absorb it, and make any questions or comments I may have. So I would not agree to have it done at the beginning, even though it would be nice. I certainly would prefer to have it at the end.
Thank you, Mr. Haggard. Ms. Doyle.
In years past, Sue has come in that day and gone over things, or come in the next day and gone over things. So we certainly can set up something as far as the media getting the right information would be concerned. Yep, my son. Yep, I'll do that again.
Anyone else? So it looks like a combination of two and three. Right? Option two and three, correct? Nobody wants option
maybe
one.
Maybe vote each one, or hybrid or something.
Do we need an official vote? Straw poll. All those in favor of option two, which is basically highlights at the committee meetings? Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess we're good to go. Okay. And we have to accommodate Nicole for this 2020 impact.
We only have three. We don't have
a plan. Okay. We do have to go into executive session for negotiations, litigation. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll go with the committee reports.
Yep.
All right.
Sorry.
The Cornell Cooperative Extension, Mr. Denisha. Thank you, Mr. Denisha. Fish and Wildlife, Ms. Curran?
Yes, that state meeting overlapped with NYSEC, so I did not go.
Okay. Fisheries Advisory, Nicole?
So we had a meeting on September 24th. It was actually well attended. I think that there were 14 to 15 people there. We were joined by a representative from the Department of Health that serves on the Grass River cleanup, the DEC. There were representatives from the tribe there, as well as representatives from our state, from our state representatives. And the topic of the discussion was fish being served, contaminated fish fish being served from contaminated waters in St. Lawrence County in restaurants. And it was an informational meeting. It was one of the first meetings that we'll have, and as further meetings come along, I will share those dates with you. But they were looking at how to move forward with education, laws, as far as regulating the amount of fish that's consumed by people that is from contaminated waters. Interestingly enough, fish doesn't have you don't have to prove where your fish comes from to serve it in a restaurant. It doesn't have a chain of custody that's attached to it like shellfish does or other products. So many, many restaurants are, you know, serving St. Lawrence caught fish. We're not really sure where it's from, and it could be contaminated. There is a do not eat advisory out for most of the waterways in St. Lawrence County for women under 50, as well as children, youth under 15. So we're thinking about ways to educate people about that. So I will keep you apprised of any further dates.
I had a constituent ask me the other day about the discussion about any discussion at all about a ladder for the fisheries, a fish ladder in Madrid.
So we were supposed to have a presentation at the last meeting about that, and the gentleman that was coming to present didn't come to the meeting. So I can definitely find out some more information. I'd be happy to report that out.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Next up is Governor Fair Board, Mr. Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was actually contacted by the chairman of the Fair Board, and they are rescheduled till tonight. So they're meeting simultaneously with our meeting.
Skype in or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Leader. Highway and Solid Waste, Mr. Denisha. Thank you very much. IDA, Mr. Reagan.
The earlier last week, the federal government announced a $500,000 plus grant to the IDA to assist current renewables in purchasing sawmill equipment. I just want to make sure everyone understands that release the sawmill equipment, and the IDA would actually own it. But over time, the IDA would be compensated for the cost of that equipment. And the big advantage to people in St. Lawrence County would be that this would create a new business and support a lot of jobs out in the woods for our forestry and logging and timber folks using a renewable resource in the county and in northern New York. And it would help ensure local jobs, security, that business would be able to continue to be in that business, provide payments to landowners who own forest resources, and help stabilize a foreign business here in St. Lawrence County.
Okay. Jim, was this a member item from Senator Gillibrand? I saw the press release, yeah.
Sometimes.
Could have had your name on it, is what you're saying.
No. It could have had the congresswoman's name on it.
Okay.
It's just that the other folks were quicker at putting out the press release. But it was a win for the IDA in security.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reagan. Mr. Marquette, Recreational and Trails Advisory Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. September 15th marks the closing of the gates to end this year's ATV season on the trails, but it was a really big productive season for us this year with you know, tens and tens of miles in addition to what we already had. As you all know, I'm a motorized recreationalist myself, so I was out there a lot this summer, and it was really good to see at the Cedar Lodge the place packed with ATVs and the like, and certainly with our third quarter sales tax reports in good shape, I think that the motorized recreation of the trail system was a real contributor. We at this time, Deb and her crew are maintaining the trails to make sure that they're ready for snowmobile season, another huge revenue generator for us. There's an attempt right now to change a long-standing process that we had in the winter. I've got a resolution prepared that'll be going out to you soon for consideration for some help with that. But it was a good year, and hopefully we'll get a lot of snow, and we'll have a good snowmobile year as well. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arquette. RVRDA, Mr. Forsyth.
There's been no meeting in August nor September, so hopefully October 2nd Tuesday.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Forsyth. I think the Chamber of Commerce is Nancy Arquette. She is not here. John, would you like to report on the Soil and Water Conservation District?
The Soil and Water just finished their fall fish sale, ended on the 27th. Aaron, the forester for Soil and Water, is continuing to work with communities on the Emerald Ash Borer, and they are pursuing educational opportunities for their employee, one employee in particular, so that her certification will increase the opportunity for grants and services for the communities.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burke. Old and new business. Anyone has old or new business? Seeing none, we have a need for an executive session for the first three items, negotiations, litigation, and personnel. I would entertain a motion for executive session, Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Ms. Curran and Mr. Arquette. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.